Hey guys, Zach here. When's St. Paddy's Day? Turns out we can never really know. Please forgive our timing mix-up that features very heavily throughout this show. Tip, start running that cold shower now, 'cause you're definitely gonna need it after this movie. Enjoy the episode.
Do you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think your version would be so much better that no one would care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Hey! Oh, welcome back, me boyos!
Welcome to Faking Movies!
Oh. And if it isn't episode 41, and the band of hooligans! Zach and Sith! How you doing, boyos?
Oh, just lovely.
So it's, I think we think British. This episode might come out around St. Patrick's
yeah,
Day, which a holiday we hate, so we figured we'd make fun of Irish people. Right at the start.
I don't know if that's what our plan was, but okay. Well, I'm going with it.
We better be going with it, because I did it. Anyway, right. How you boys doing? How you boyos holding up?
Well enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was in a car accident earlier today, but it's going okay. It's going fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got to go gentle on our boy tonight.
Oh, Seth, it's okay. It's okay.
His heart be breaking.
It is. Yeah. My poor baby Blue, she's all busted up.
But, yeah, that's true.
We'll be all right.
Our dear audience members, you know what would really cheer Zach up? It's if you visited our websites, fakingmovies.com and fakingmovies.wordpress.com. And if you were going to go to that trouble, you may as well make sure that you're subscribed on iTunes and telling some friends about
us. I was going to say, God, you know what would make me so happy is if you got like 500 to 600 friends to subscribe. Would make me just over the moon. Yeah.
Really cheer up this and glum then, day.
Yeah.
Well, you know what does work to cheer up glum days? It's a Seth movie. Seth's doing a movie today, guys.
Yeah.
Yay.
Oh, it's gonna be a real beansy episode.
Oh, it's gonna be something.
Because I have feelings about this movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure boy. Enough. Sure
well,
enough.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us about
it? Well, y'all gave me a Buffalo 66.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Starring Vincent Gallo, Christina Ricci, Mickey Rourke, and Angelica Houston.
Okay, yes. Let's intro this with Seth. Do you know who Vincent Gallo is?
I mean, I know he's this gaunt-looking motherfucker. That's about all I remember.
Okay, all right. Well, so that's more than nothing, but let's say not the depths of Vincent Gallo.
Okay.
All right, so it sounds like you're not totally familiar with human trash pile Vincent Gallo.
Yeah.
No, and my movie doesn't really reflect that either.
Oh.
So happens.
Well,
it's not a super trash pile in it.
It will be very different from the real one in that case.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Spoilers, but, you know.
It kind of looks like Serpico, like if Serpico were on meth.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah,
yes,
definitely
he does. Yes, he fucking does.
Well, yeah,
I was trying to figure that out the entire afternoon when I was watching this movie.
Serpico on meth. Yeah,
I guess we
Serpico.
Should,
it's me, Serpico.
We should note Lee said the entire afternoon when he watched this movie, and it did take him an entire afternoon.
Oh boy,
we'll get into that later.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, well,
what are your ideas, Seth?
Well, we talked about some on our group chat earlier, making it involving buffalo wings, for example, or Buffalo, New York.
It'll play well in Buffalo.
Ah.
Peoria, unclear. Buffalo, real good.
Yeah, real good.
Built-in audience in Buffalo.
I don't remember what any of our other ideas were. Really,
I mentioned that Batman, the old Batman TV show, also took place.
Yeah.
It has in 66, and it so it has the same number.
Yeah, I didn't.
That was kind of an empty suggestion.
Yeah.
So.
I didn't really flush out my movie very well this time. Mm-hmm. So at a certain point, I'm going to ask for your input, and you'll know when that point comes.
Oh, fun.
Well, Seth, lucky for you, there's nothing in the rule book that says that we can't help you fake your movie.
Ah! Also, we always do, regardless of whether it's requested or
sure,
not.
Sure, sure.
So,
I especially do when people don't want me.
So I'm just going to get this out at the beginning so you guys can be mad at me now.
How many words are we making buffalo into? Go ahead.
Only
go ahead.
Two.
Buffalo, 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 nope. Buffalo.
Oh,
buffalo.
Oh my God. Is that the one?
No, no.
Oh,
no.
Nope. I know that one.
So.
I don't know if I said it the
this,
right amount of
this
time.
This movie, Buffalo 66 is actually called Buffalo 66.
You never disappoint, my good friend. You never disappoint.
And can I say, can I just say that I am very excited for this.
Wait, is it a buff oh hello?
No. No, there's no tuna involved.
Too much tuna? Yeah, all right. Okay, okay, sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. So, this movie takes place, I would say, in like the mid-80s sort of thing.
And not 1966?
No. It has nothing to do with the year 1966.
Great.
So, Vincent Gallo, that Serpico-looking motherfucker,
he doesn't seem like nearly enough of a beefer to be in a movie called Buff.
Well, that's kind of the point. And again, I don't really know who Vincent Gallo is other than this Serpico-looking meth-doing motherfucker, so...
Yeah.
Oh, we're gonna spend the rest of the podcast talking about it. No worries.
Okay. Yeah. Well, okay, so Vince arrives from somewhere in the UK, in Chicago. So he flew in.
I guessed
of course,
the UK
because,
connection.
You know, hello. Hello, hello.
Hello.
Yeah. Like that terrible show, hello, hello.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, Vince arrives in Chicago, and, you know, he's scrawny and wiry and kind of looks like he's on meth.
Wiry like a character from one of your favorite movies, Seth.
That's true. Yeah, except he's not Welsh.
Regular re-siphons.
Oh.
Okay, let me get through what I gotta get through.
Get through any of this.
Yeah. I'm like,
fade in.
Alright. Vince arrives from the UK in Chicago.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. In my notes, I said...
Someone hands him a Chicago-style hot dog. What kind of a banger is this, eh?
Oh, God damn it. Okay.
Good luck.
I do like your Chicago-style deep-dish shepherd's pie. I do.
It is kind of like a shepherd's pie, isn't it?
More than a
pizza,
only
for
sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, I just wish my pizza
shepherd's
had
pie
more
is good.
Butter.
Chicago pizza is bad.
I demand the most out of my Italian casserole.
As you should.
There's already an Italian casserole that's good. It's called a lasagna. Yeah. God, for Christ's sake.
Famed Italian casserole.
Just like moussaka is cinnamon lasagna from last week's episode.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Anyway, Vince arrives from the UK in Chicago.
And
he looks terrible,
we can do it.
As we said. But he has,
yeah, he's all gone,
he has
shit.
Come to America to be a bodybuilder. He's seen all the Arnold Schwarzeneggers of the world hit it big, and, you know, he just wants a bite of that pie. In the vernacular.
Yeah, he saw White Shrek and he was inspired.
He was inspired by White Shrek.
Okay.
He wants to get that pump up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Donkey.
It turns out that there are a series of bodybuilding competitions all along Route 66.
That's probably true. I buy that.
Yeah, and there's there's
very good.
Let's say a competition in each of the states as we go from, you know, Route 66 starts in Chicago and it ends, I think, in L.A. So
at least every state that we can come up with like a stereotypical resident of anyway.
Yeah. I mean, it goes through what? Illinois, Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and then California.
In New Mexico, they just lift giant pieces of turquoise. Yep.
And stucco, oddly enough. It's
not that oddly, but yeah.
Arizona, they're just lifting giant scorpions and shit. Yep.
Just bags of sand.
And Grand Canyons?
How can one lift the entire Grand Canyon? It is empty.
Well, oh boy. Well, Vince knows how. Anyway.
Yeah, so perfect.
He wants
super zen.
He like wants to become a bodybuilder, and at the first major contest, he meets Mickey Rourke, who is a bodybuilder, but ultimately wants to be an actor. So he's going to try to make some extra scratch on his way as they travel to California.
So Mickey Rourke, playing...
his destination is L.A.
Yeah,
yeah.
This is Mickey, younger Mickey Rourke playing older Mickey Rourke. Is that what this is?
Yeah, I guess
a bodybuilder who wants to be an actor.
Yeah, a big old slab of meat. Yeah.
Oh God, that man looks like a foot now.
Yes.
Like a human size, like a human body sized foot. Anyway.
Like a foot that's been at Bonnaroo for too long.
Oh boy. Is there such thing as wet rot? Like dry rot, but wet?
Yeah, trench foot.
He has.
Yeah, trench foot.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Oh, it's a World War One
tie-in,
too.
Yeah, but he's really the human. He's not the human embodiment of trench foot. He's the human embodiment of swamp ass.
So. Yeah. Yeah, mix them together. Yep.
As my dad used to joke, after the dog like would try to lick his feet and then lick his face, that the dog was going to give him athlete's face, and that is what Mickey Rourke's body is.
Yep. Yeah, sure enough.
Okay, well, enough of that.
Yep.
God, what a body shaming.
Yeah, so far. It is, I mean, it is a movie ostensibly about like people who want to be perfection of body shape and things.
A very specific version
indeed,
of perfection.
Indeed,
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he meets Mickey, whatever. They become pseudo friends. Angelica Houston is Mickey Rourke's acting coach / bodybuilding coach.
Hell yeah.
That's amazing. That is so good.
Just like gets to be super theatrical and awesome the entire
perfect
movie. She is absolutely just like chewing every piece of scenery as much as she possibly can. It's wonderful.
Love it. Love it.
I love this.
Okay. So then we get Christina Ricci, who was a judge of the first contest, but was extremely critical and like lambasts Vince at the beginning for not looking like a bodybuilder. And during, like, I assume in bodybuilding contests they have, it's like Miss America, even though it probably isn't. Because I've never seen anything like this. But they, like...
There's a singing portion?
I think that there's, like, a Q&A section. But in my version, just shut up.
There's definitely not.
Let me have this.
Yeah.
It's important.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So Christina Ricci...
In your version, there is.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's asking the contestants all sorts of, like, kinesiology questions that none of the contestants can answer. Turns out
I would watch that.
Yeah. She's an expert in, like, biomechanics and wants to go to California to go to grad school at, like, UCLA or Berkeley or Chico or some shit.
Somewhere that has a really great kinesiology.
Yeah,
program.
I only say Chico because I have a friend whose father was like used to work at Chico in the kinesiology department and things like that.
Oh, all
right. But she misses her bus or whatever, but manages to convince this crew to take her with them. I don't really want, like, a romance plot in this, though. Like, everybody can start off as super hostile, and then it sort of, like, gets more friendly, and they become, like, more friends. But I don't really want a romance plot in any of this.
Well,
that's fine.
Okay.
Well, you know me. We potentially could do it, but
oh no, I'm on board.
No, I get you. It's this is more of like a road trip kind
of. Well, yeah.
Of,
So this definitely becomes sort of a road trip movie. And like here is where I'm gonna start to want to get your guys' input, because like the way that I envisioned this when I was writing it an hour ago, was like it. It's a road trip movie, but it has a lot of heart. It's like, so I've been watching a lot of like Taika Waititi films recently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thor 3?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that and, you know, other things.
Wilder
the
People.
More, the more Kiwi.
Yeah. Hunt for the Wilder People and Boy and Eagle versus Shark, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I haven't seen those two.
And it's
yet.
Like Ooh, comedy so of the mundane and the awkward. And it's all about like these weird losers that have unattainable dreams. Like that's clearly Vince. And then there's another weird loser.
It has like a simultaneous like feel of being unrealistic and realistic.
Yeah,
at
the same time. And like it's lovable loser situation. And it's really character driven instead of plot driven. Like I want it not really to matter if they even make it to California, because it's a journey film. So what I was thinking is like if we could workshop some things, like what sort of situations do you think that this crew would run into on their way towards California?
I think immediately of a run out of money for gas kind of situation.
Uh-huh, sure.
And they have to like enter some sort of contest. But then again, the whole movie is about them entering contests.
Yeah.
So that might not. Yeah.
Here's a thought. What if they go to a weird town and there's a monkey and they somehow drum up a street fight and they fight the guy and they win some money off of that? Does
and
that
then
sound reasonable?
You know,
Beverly
it sounds
D'Angelo
really familiar.
Shows up and shoots
them. Yeah. Inexplicably. Mm-hmm. It sounds really familiar, and like I feel like I hated it last time.
Yeah.
I heard it, but
no, it was
now
not good.
It sounds so much
better.
Better in a comedy of sorts. I don't know if this is a comedy.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, like
maybe we could find out, like maybe there could be a sequence where we find out that at least one of them has a talent different than the one they're chasing.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And they find that to be very fulfilling, and that kind of helps the it's about the journey, not the destination message.
Mm-hmm, sure.
So this along those lines, this might be a bit too much, but I immediately go to Magic Mike XXL.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, I've been didn't want to bring it up, but yeah.
Right. They're already bodybuilders. Like, what if they just do some freelance clothes taken offs? And
I know. I thought about it. I thought about that, too. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. There should probably be, as you mentioned, a turquoise heist.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
for
very
sure.
Good.
Resale value on turquoise
like
is premium. Mm-hmm. You can fence turquoise anywhere as long as you're in New Mexico.
I'm gonna set up a new business venture. It's an LLC, obviously.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, of course.
So we're gonna heist one turquoise store and then go to a different turquoise store to turn it over.
Sell it back.
Yeah. You know what's always a good one is like one person in the crew is a very good cook, and they don't realize that they're actually a very good cook, so you can get a little bit of mileage out of that.
Yeah.
That's a really good one. If somebody has a talent that they don't know that they have, and then it becomes
like a
realization
into that situation. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's a good character builder too, right? Because it's like, oh, this person is now more happy because they do it.
Yeah,
because
it's like maybe it's Mickey Rourke wanting to be an actor, and it's like he makes all their meals for them because he can make an amazing meal out of anything with like a hot plate and a pot, and you know, they're like, he's like, one night him and Vinny have a little chat, and it's like, why do you want to be an actor so bad, mate? Like, mm-hmm. You're so talented at cooking, and it makes you so happy, and he's like, realizes, oh shit, maybe that is what I want.
That's my
life.
Calling. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like, kind of, I mean, like all good road trip movies, it's a movie of self-discovery that doesn't involve an orangutan.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to this one involving an orangutan at some point. Just as long as Clint Eastwood isn't there, I'm fine. Like...
And as long as they don't accidentally, or maybe not accidentally, beat it to death while they're filming the movie.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
But I feel like Angelica Houston showing up all over the place doing crazy, crazy shit.
Oh, my God.
Is going to be...
Endless possibilities.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Can the movie, to even further your point of, like, you don't... The destination, they're all, let's say they're all headed to L.A., mm-hmm. of that not actually mattering, can they, like... break down on the way somewhere and they end up staying there because like Angelica Houston Ooh. Starts an acting school.
Yeah.
And like Mickey Rourke figures out like, hey, the short order cook is retiring and he needs someone to take over.
Yeah.
And it turns out this makes him really happy and like, hey, there's a really good community college here and she doesn't have her degree yet, but they need a teacher, mm-hmm. like yeah. Christina Ricci. And yeah, like...
And then they all find the thing they actually want to do rather than the thing they thought they wanted to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And you create your family along the
exactly.
way.
Exactly. Yeah, that's kind of the situation that I was envisioning. And like, everybody is awkward and it's a little depressing, but it's also like really hopeful and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is.
Can I confess something to you guys?
What's
real quick?
That?
Yeah.
Just this moment, I got a little choked up thinking about this.
Yeah. Movie. Oh my
so,
god!
This is a winner.
I actually did too a second ago. I felt this like weird.
I was gonna say,
bang. It was. Oof.
Because I'm thinking about you guys and our extended friend group, and I'm thinking yeah. like,
oh, we could do this.
This is the family I've built over the
yeah,
years.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
no, absolutely.
Yeah.
And well, and we all talk about shit that we like more wish that we were doing despite doing other things. So like, yeah, this is like our personal heaven, I think. Yeah.
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 Also this cast fits so well into this type of movie. It fits
lovable misfits.
Yeah. It mm-hmm. fits kind of weirdly into the actual movie, but I think this one that you're painting is like way better for this kind of weird misfit cast. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't really have a conclusion, but I think this family is what you make of it sort of thing.
Yeah.
And, like, it's... Yeah. This is...
Wow, guys.
So
it's very touching.
Yeah.
I know.
Hey, I made a not
You know, it's
super...
a fucking St. Patrick's Day miracle.
Yeah. And I feel bummed that we now have to talk about actual Buffalo 66.
Oh, I know. Just
we're gonna
fucking
we just
God,
we just set
off.
Out on the road to paradise and we're gonna crash the car immediately.
This is like a version of Meatloaf's Bad Out of Hell that ends in the middle of the song
yeah.
where he's just dying in a
yeah.
ditch.
Yeah. Oh Jesus.
Oof. All right, well,
okay, well, that was my version.
Okay.
What kind of bullshit do you guys have for me now?
I need to collect myself after that.
Yeah,
I am like,
yeah.
I am moved. I am legitimately moved.
So I guess let me get started with Vincent Gallo, the human being.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he has.
Well, actually,
sorry. Go ahead.
Do you want to? I think. Do you have the IMDb summary pulled up?
Oh, I do. Yeah.
Read that first. I think just
sure.
Yeah, like we should know what the movie is, and then maybe we can color that expectation
yes.
by talking about Vincent Gallo.
Okay.
Yeah. That is exactly the right order, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Leaving the score out, 1998, the synopsis is, after being released from prison,
uh-huh.
Billy is set to visit his parents with his wife, whom he does not actually have. This provokes Billy to act out as he kidnaps a girl and forces her to act as his wife for the visit.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
A story of Vincent Gallo.
Tale as old as time.
Yeah.
So
I have a couple of quick facts here, and then Lee, I think you have some Vincent Gallo musings. Right.
I mean, I have musings about my just the way it plays out in the movie, but I think there's like this is I don't know that there's ever been another movie we've done where just reading verbatim from the IMDb trivia was more appropriate.
Yeah.
Like,
yep. So it's worth saying Vincent Gallo hit a real bout of trauma, I guess, in his movie Brown Bunny, which I think was like 2003, probably.
That sounds right-ish. Yeah. I mean, it was after this movie, for
it
sure.
It was, yeah. Yeah. So this was Vincent Gallo. So he fancies himself quite the muse, quite the, like, great everything. So yeah. He writes and directs his movies.
In his mind, at least, he is an auteur. Oh,
yes.
Boy. He does everything.
Yeah. And so Brown Bunny was this movie with Chloe Sevigny, whom he was dating at the time. Mm-hmm. Who I like quite a bit. But notably, it was quite a disaster. So it premiered at Cannes. And there's an unsimulated blowjob scene with Chloe Sevigny. And this got quite a bit of criticism. Roger Ebert famously said it was the worst movie to have ever been played at Cannes.
Wow.
And then they had a very public feud afterwards, which...
This plays into... yeah, this also plays into... some facts about Buffalo 66, mm-hmm. which, since we're at this part, I'll say it's a very celebrated indie film.
Yes, very, very.
Highly rated indie film from 1998, but it was not screened at Cannes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Vincent Gallo blames Anjelka Huston for that. He said that after the movie, she had such a bad experience working with him and mm-hmm. hated it so mm-hmm. much. Much like, as we'll talk about, most of the people in the movie.
Most people that have ever met him ever, yes.
Yeah, oh boy. he claims that she blackballed him, and that's why it wasn't played at Cannes.
Huh. And she's easily the most famous person in this movie, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe even still. I guess he's like, and what a triumph it is, how highly it speaks of me that they played Brown Bunny, because that was on the how good my previous work was.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's a real egomaniac.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He is. So other facts about his life. He moved to New York when he was like 16, I guess, and he was in a band.
From Buffalo, right?
From Buffalo, yes. Famously grew up in Buffalo. He was in a band with Jean-Baptiste Basquiat, the famed artist.
What?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, he played bass. And
of course
that
he did.
Was, I guess,
oh, okay.
Thing. Of course he did.
Yeah.
Everyone
hates the bass.
Also
player.
Then was a semi-professional or professional motorcycle racer, which is the story of Brown Bunny, as it turns out.
Uh-huh. He was also a model, correct?
He was a model because he's very meth looking and
yeah,
sort
for
of
meth
severe.
Chic, like what?
Yeah,
that was a big mid-90s look.
For the
Dare Elite
campaign?
No, I mean, that was like a real thing. Like all the Terry Richardson kind of...
Yeah,
that was a big thing.
Yeah.
Heroin chic was what they referred to as in the 90s.
That one.
Yeah.
For sure.
He has been his whole life a staunch conservative and is very good friends with the Bush family, mm-hmm. apparently.
I didn't know that, but that makes so much sense.
Yeah. But like as an artist who was in a band with Basquiat, that's a very mm-hmm. weird combination. Mm-hmm. Very weird.
Yeah. But knowing that now, like he, and this is not to say that like all people who are cut of the Bush version of conservatism mold are
certainly
misogynistic, abusive towards mm-hmm. women, but like now knowing that he is a very old school traditionalist, I get why he is so misogynistic and abusive towards women in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yes. In this movie and in life, he's been genuinely terrible to women his entire existence, is my understanding. Yeah.
Gross. And I think if you didn't know anything about him going into this, you might think that like, if you try to take the story on its own, that this is all based in the trauma of his character's upbringing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You might mistake it for that. And like, you know, maybe that's part of why this was such a praised movie.
Yeah, I think so. Because he was masking it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you know the Gallo lore, this movie is very, very different. Yeah, for sure.
Mm, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's fair. You want to give like a short summary?
Yeah,
I can give you a short summary.
No,
if you... Yeah, good.
Yeah, no, you go, Lee, by all means.
Okay. Vincent Gallo gets out of jail at the start of the movie, takes the bus back into town. His parents had no idea he's in jail, apparently. They think he's married and an important dude. He's trying to find somewhere to take a piss. He ends up in a dance studio and kidnaps Christina Ricci. Mm-hmm. and takes her back to meet his parents, where he forces her to pretend to be his wife. They spend the better part of the day there. Angelica Houston is his mom, and Ben Gazzara, the bad guy from Roadhouse, is his dad.
Bad guy from Roadhouse, also Jackie Treehorn from Big Lebowski. Yes,
that's true. Uh-huh. Yes. So this is the second Ben Gazzara film that we've done.
He's great in both.
They spend the day there.
Why does Christina Ricci go along with this?
There is no motivation that makes sense.
Zero motivation. She gets fully Stockholmed in 6 seconds, and it absolutely does not make any sense. Yeah.
It's absolutely.
Very, very
good. Absolutely.
Yeah, I was specifically in my story going to try to avoid that sort of thing where oh, I was really mean to this character. Now I'm in love with him. I don't want that because that's stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this movie goes from full-on physical abuse to in love with.
Yeah, I wrote, I think later on in the movie, I wrote, it is 100% inconceivable that any human would be Stockholm syndromed by Vincent Gallo. Mm-hmm. I cannot suspend disbelief for this.
He doesn't even do the psychological, like tricks of trying to make them feel like they're on your side. He full-on abuses her just throughout the entire movie.
But so the only thing that makes it make sense is that he wrote and also directed this movie, and he's like, everyone loves me, of course.
Anyway, they spend the day there. It's very uncomfortable and awkward, and they end up, he was in jail because he got in trouble with a bookie played by Mickey Rourke in one 60 second scene.
Yes.
What?
Yeah. And Mickey Rourke makes him take the fall for someone in his crew because he couldn't pay his debt.
Sure.
And the debt all is based on a Buffalo Bills, although they don't never say the Bills because they can't, because trademarks. Kicker missing a field goal in the Super Bowl, which is based on real life kicker Scott Norwood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they call the guy Scotty Wood.
Yeah.
And his big plan. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. This is another one of my other realizations somehow at the very end of the movie. This entire movie hinges on the Buffalo Bills suck at football. And that made me actually very happy because that's very funny.
But in the movie, I don't know about Scott Norwood in real life, what his post-football stuff was. But in this universe, the Scott Norwood stand-in is an overweight dude who owns a strip club, and he decides he's going to murder Scott Norwood or Scotty Wood as revenge.
This sounds oddly plausible. Like, in Buffalo, kicker owns a strip club. Like, it could have totally happened. Yeah.
I mean, it might be real.
Yeah, it very well might. Yeah.
So he goes and he gets a hotel room with Christina Ricci, and there's these weird, very cold, distant scenes that I think are supposed to be meant as humanizing him, but they don't.
No, they just make him worse. They make him more of a serial killer. Yeah, it's terrible.
And then he goes to the strip club by himself and has this what I didn't realize at first was a fantasy sequence of murdering the dude and then killing himself. And I was really well, at least it ended with that dude dead.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a fantasy, and he leaves the strip club and calls up Kevin Corrigan. Do you know that actor? He played Uncle Eddie on Grounded for Life. Mm-hmm. He's The Departed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Plays his friend who appears to have a learning disability at least. And throughout the movie, he's called him a few times and just berates him over and over and over again. And one of the last scenes in the movie is him calling up his friend and being like, hey, no, I didn't do it. No, he's a good guy. I like him. I guess it was a mistake. I'm sorry I yelled at you. I'm going to go hang out with my new girlfriend now. And then he just goes and lays in a bed with Christina Ricci. And that's fucking the whole movie.
So that's the end, but it is implied Christina weirdly falls in love with him this whole time.
It's not implied. She flat out says, you now.
It was implied that they sort of maybe end up together because I guess we don't get any backstory on her, but I guess her deal is kind of sad and lonely and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But she, as we mentioned, falls for him instantly, and it's just upsetting the whole time.
There's other character info that fills him out a little, and he was abused by his parents emotionally and physically, and he was in love with this woman, and he's emotionally stunted because he never did anything about it when he was younger.
Sounds like a lot of man-child,
very much, yes.
Like, behaviors, yeah. Of, like, a dude that never had to force, was never forced to actually be an adult, and therefore cannot deal with the real world.
Absolutely.
Yes, yeah. But, like, whereas in, like, an Apatow movie, those are at least sometimes very charming, or can be charming, yeah. Or at least, at the very least, funny.
Yeah.
And usually, yeah. Get a lesson at some point, or...
Right, yeah. There, nothing is learned in this movie.
Mm. Yep. Like... Not a thing. Mm-hmm. Or in Vincent Gallo's life, I think, yeah.
It's quite a stark contrast to my movie film.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Your uplifting tale of learning, of wayward people finding each other and bettering themselves and each other. Yeah. Yeah, what a fucking novel concept. Yep.
One would hope. Yeah.
Oof.
So, that's more or less the plot. Zach, what kind of stuff did you want to talk about for this movie?
So, I guess I'll start with, did Christina Ricci absolutely have to have the, quote, starter Lolita costume for the whole thing?
Yeah, like, really short blue dress with blue stockings and, yeah. Like, blue eyeshadow. Very low cut. So, like, there's... Okay, this movie is... shot almost every scene in very static, straight ahead camera shots.
Yep.
That sounds like a
very little camera movement.
Shitty directorial style.
So
this is his first thing. So yeah.
Now and again, according to like the IMDb trivia, this was a tribute to a Japanese filmmaker that he really liked, but I don't believe that. I just feel like he didn't know how to direct a movie.
Yeah. I think he thought he knew. He like so Quentin Tarantino did this too, where he's like, I can just do this, let's just do it. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Quentin was very successful and Vincent just looks like he ripped off other shit, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For
like,
all the issues I have with Quentin Tarantino, like, his run of his early movies is
very
outstanding.
Yeah,
like,
very,
like, for a first movie, Reservoir Dogs is actually, it looks mm-hmm. so
yeah.
good.
Yeah,
staggeringly good.
This
yeah.
looks fucking, it just looks like person setting up a camera on a tripod and telling his friends to act in front of it.
You're not wrong there, but I think that is, and we discussed this a bit, I think that is exactly what people like about this. It's very lo-fi. Mm. The shots are very fuzzy, and there's sort of, there's like a glow to it that gives sort of a retro feel, and all the shots are very straight on, and then there's like a bunch of weird fade-ins very slowly and stuff, and like, while it is very amateur looking, I think that is part of the appeal for some people, yeah.
I get that, and if you're a very like experienced filmmaker, I could see that being a choice. Right. I just can't imagine that this was a real choice.
Yeah, no, again, if...
This is just somebody who is so full of themselves that they can't understand that they don't know how to do something.
Exactly. It comes back to the, if you know who Vincent Gallo is, it's a very different movie kind of situation.
Well, yeah. And this even extends to, they fired a cinematographer because he disagreed with Vincent Gallo's like filming techniques and hired someone else who had almost no experience just because he knew how to run a fucking camera.
Was that person's name Vincent Gallo by any chance?
No, Vincent Gallo tried to... He wanted to be the cinematographer, but the company that ensured the movie wouldn't allow it.
Yeah, good, yeah. Good, good for them.
he also decided to shoot on a type of film that is both very expensive and very difficult to develop. Mm-hmm. And apparently... he didn't even look into whether or not it could be developed before they did it. They got lucky and found a studio that could do it.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This like, it smacks of someone in a film 101 class reading about a thing that was cool and deciding, I'm going
to
do it.
Yeah. Yep. So to get back to the original point, I think, Lee, you summed it up very well. Christina Ricci plays the most convincing 18-year-old actor ever. Because she was 18,
yeah,
and didn't really know what she was doing, yeah. And the whole thing.
No,
is...
I think she knew what she was doing. I think she was just incredibly uncomfortable the whole time.
Right.
She's been a
certainly.
Professional actor for years leading up to
that's
this
true.
In some very good movies.
Adam's Family Values, certainly. Yeah.
For example.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. For one example.
Yeah, yeah.
she's like, you know, and her and Angelica Houston knew each other and shared a lot of scenes together.
Oh, sure. Oh,
and yeah, those are the moments that feel the most,
like, legitimate,
like, cinematic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that gets to my next point. The family, Vincent Gallo's family, probably the two most experienced actors. I forget the guy's name, Jackie Treehorn, whatever.
Ben Gazzara
and Angelica Houston are fucking unstoppable. Like, they're not in much of the movie. They're in like 20 minutes, maybe 30 mm-hmm. minutes. But oh my God, they're so good. Angelica Houston especially yeah. is unbelievably good. Like,
a little funny, a funny bit about her character. Reportedly, this movie had a $1.5 million budget and $20,000 wow. was spent on her wig.
Wow.
It's yeah. Well, I would imagine another 20 at least was spent on fake buffalo gear. There's a lot of buffalo that doesn't say Bill's stuff in this movie.
Oh.
Yeah. And it looks a little bit like old school Bill's stuff from the 60s, but not quite.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wait, what does the 66 Which... have to do with anything?
That's when he was born, so... I think. Right.
Well, okay, so Buffalo 66, it's Angelica Houston's character gives that she's obsessed with the Bills or the she's obsessed with the Buffalo football team.
Yeah.
And at one point during the dinner scene,
oh, right.
she
oh, God.
Complains that God damn it, the Bills haven't won, or the Buffalo hasn't won a championship since 1966.
Yeah.
And that's the only game I've missed since yep. 1966, and it's because that was the day that he was born.
Yep.
So she so like there's the movie setting up like my mother's distant because she loves football and I made her miss this yeah. game. And the father's character, Ben Gazzara's character, they set it up as though he, like, you know, is a failed artist who is just bitter at the world
sure.
for being a failed
so
artist.
So that
yeah.
that's another fucking crazy scene in this sequence.
That scene just feels like it was ripped off from Blue Velvet.
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely. So there's
the scene where Dean Stockwell lip syncs to In Dreams, the Roy Orbison song.
Yes, most
notably, this could have been a less accomplished. this would be the, you know, when people at talent shows do like pantomimes of scenes from movies, mm-hmm. like high school talent
sure.
shows,
yeah.
and they go on YouTube.
And
this
scene
could have been a pantomime yeah. of that.
I yeah. just watched Drop Dead Gorgeous,
yeah.
a movie that I faked recently, and yes, that is exactly
yes.
the thing that happens in that. Yes.
yeah.
yeah.
And that's not to take away from Ben Gazzara or Christina Ricci in
no,
that scene,
oh, they're very
because
good.
They both
yeah.
are very good.
The tension between them is amazing. And also, yeah, him lip-syncing, very obviously not his voice, is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And the scene goes on for the entire song. Like, they barely cut anything. It's incredible.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting point about that scene is the thing he's lip-syncing to was recorded by Vincent Gallo's actual father, who was a
oh.
failed singer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Oof. Yeah.
He just can't help himself, that one. Oof.
No, he's all up in himself.
Ugh. Yeah.
Several people involved in this movie asked to have their names taken off of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kevin Corrigan for one of them uh-huh. because he was so uncomfortable with his role.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh boy.
The cinematographer who did end up doing the movie, I think, asked to be taken off
oh.
of it. Angelica Houston almost asked to be taken off of it, but like ended up not. Because she didn't want to tank the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's so famous. Who gives
a few
a shit,
people. Yeah. A few people involved in the product, like behind the scenes, had their names taken off of it.
Yeah.
Like,
well, and that's the most unfortunate part about this is like, it was a train wreck by all means. But then as we discussed, it became sort of a cult classic and was highly reviewed.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, Vincent Gallo gets this like very sad, like, assurance that he's actually good at this thing
yeah.
and that goes mm-hmm. on to spur his entire life, which is ugh.
Yeah
yeah.
There's a I think the most famous scene in this movie, because we haven't brought it up yet, is the tap dancing scene.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
Do you want to talk about that at all, Zach, or
you mean the bowling one?
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, I did have written down this when it got to that point, and we talked about this today. Vincent Gallo is apparently a very good bowler.
Of course he is.
His character in this movie. Yeah. And then I realized, like, this is just bummer Big Lebowski. It's a bunch of very strong characters, except there's no fun or, like, point to anything, mm-hmm. and it's just sadness and bummers the whole time.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of bowling. But weirdly a lot of bowling.
We do get to see him bowl what appears to be a perfect game. They just keep showing him hit strikes.
And then, this is early on in the kidnapping, and Christina Ricci is there sitting by his side and kind of bored. And she was kidnapped from a tap dancing class, so she has her shoes on and all this shit. And so she's there kind of bored, and so she tap dances, and in Vincent Gallo fashion, it sort of, like, lights fade, and it focuses in directly on her, and she does this very slow, very long tap dance. And this is, I think, somewhat iconic-ish.
And in true fashion with this movie, this is probably the one scene in the movie that most benefits from being a very static, straight ahead shot.
Well, that's why this is when I
but
thought
it loses a lot of its like effectiveness by being just surrounded by other shots framed the exact same way.
Something unique, it's just the status quo that
So this felt like a musical break in Lebowski, where it's like, oh, we're gonna take 2 minutes to like do something else, and that's like a weird diversion, and that's fun. And it was, but like, again, being surrounded by nightmare everything else, it's less fun. So I think that's all I had. What do you got anything else?
Other than like you mentioned this at the top. This movie is 1 hour and 40 minutes long, and it took me 6 hours to watch.
Jesus Christ.
I told Lee, you were real bummed at the end of watching this, and I was like, no, you gotta climb out of that gallow hole. You gotta really do it.
Do you have to climb down from the gallows?
Well, almost,
I did.
It's a real bummer.
Let's see. Let me just look at our chat. Here we go.
I'll hum Don't Fear the Reaper to try to help you through.
Well, you know that I love Blue Oyster Cult.
Oh, yeah,
dearly.
You know that.
I sent this to Zach while I was watching the movie. I think I had about a half hour left at this point. And I think this really sums up my experience of watching this movie. Mm-hmm. Why did I start watching this movie while traveling faster than light?
Yeah.
That must be the answer as to why my entire life has withered away in the time it took to watch this movie that isn't even over yet.
Yep. I was, by the end, so I was matching up your timestamps of your messages that you sent to me with the amount of time that you said had left in the movie, trying to figure out if you were in fact bending space time. And I think conclusion is maybe Vincent Gallo is a black hole and you were falling into it. It's unfair.
Yeah. Oh, I got sucked into the black hole charisma that is Vincent Gallo.
The only way to rescue you is for Steve Zahn to come in and take you by the hand.
And pluck you
Steve
out of
Zahn
it.
Steve Zahn and Tars from Interstellar. Yep.
All Blue Oyster Cult is playing in the background.
Mm-hmm. Just a consistent quarter note cowbell.
Can I just... No, you know I like those deep cuts. I just want to listen to the Imaginos album on repeat.
I know you do. Yeah. I know.
By the way, anyone who likes Blue Oyster Cult or doesn't, you should go seek out the Imaginos album.
It's a good album.
It's so much better than this movie. Much better.
You introduced it to me. It was a very good album. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. To be fair,
I own that album in three different forms of media.
No. A mild case of diarrhea is probably better than this movie, to be fair. Like a nice morning diarrhea is like definitely better.
You guys talk about diarrhea a lot.
Yeah. Zach, you know me. You know that 2 years ago I went through a phase of 100 days without having diarrhea.
It was
something that
unprecedented,
I noted.
Yes.
I have had some diarrhea.
I know your poop schedule pretty well. I know your poop schedule very well.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Multiple Fast and Furious. Yeah, I've had a lot of diarrhea in my life, and never has it been worse than this movie.
Yeah, I buy it.
Never.
Yeah.
One other thing I just wanted to mention about this movie. Very early on, like I mentioned at the start, he's trying to find somewhere to take a piss. Mm-hmm. Eventually, he finds somewhere. and it's in the dance studio that Christina Ricci is in, right. And he goes to take a piss, and there's a at the urinal next to him, and as soon as he stands there, he turns to the guy and he goes, "Stop looking at me. What are you doing? Stop looking at my dick." And the guy goes, "It's just so big." That's on.
Yep. He wrote that into his own movie. Yeah.
And then he drops a few F-bombs on the guy, and I'm not talking about fuck.
So it's both like gay panics and like
lots of it.
Penis envy.
It was implied that the gay panic was because he was just in prison, but like he says the F word 70 times in that like 3 minutes. Yeah, it's not great. It's not great.
Yeah.
God.
Well, that's what I was getting at.
There's a lot of this movie on film. Jesus.
Yeah.
It fucking really is. A lot of this movie is just scenes where if you know nothing about the filmmaker, you might be fooled into thinking, oh, it's his trauma coming out on screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The character's trauma. But shit. Mm-hmm.
But he's just a fucking miserable piece of shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Sounds like a garbo human to the nth degree.
Yep. All right. Should we do the thing?
Yeah, ratings. Let's go.
Yeah, what are your ratings, y'all?
So, IMDb.
Mm-hmm.
As we mentioned, this film is weirdly highly regarded. It has, with 40,000 votes, a 7.5
IMDb. That's really high. That's
very criminal. Very high.
Really, really high, guys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lee, why don't you kick us off?
Sure. I was talking with Zach earlier, and I said, I can't in good conscience give two movies in a row a one.
I don't know.
That feels...
Well, yeah, that's what I said.
That feels really, like, dirty.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about it a little bit since we talked, and I decided that I'm not going to do that. Instead, Buffalo 66, the real movie.
Is it going to get a zero? Are you giving
it
a zero?
It gets a zero.
Yeah!
It gets a fucking zero. Because I don't care... that it was fucking 1998. I don't care that it's like this independent film that is one of the more successful independent films. Well, fuck that shit. This movie is nothing but the toxic masculinity of just a garbage person.
Yeah, he's just jerking himself off for an hour
and a half. $1.5 million just confession of being a human piece of trash, and like I can't. Oh, we forgot to talk about how Christina Ricci, the quote that Vincent Gallo has about directing Christina Ricci was, "She was just a puppet that I got to push around stage."
Oh, yuck!
Don't
Holy
like
shit.
That.
Oh my
really,
god!
No. Really don't like that.
Okay,
unsurprisingly, she, along with Angelica Houston and most other people in this movie, were not happy.
Yeah, of course.
With their experiences making it.
You said $1.5 million. Who gave him any money to make this movie? This is insane. This should have been also, having seen it, this is like a $100,000 movie.
Yeah, did
it
he just
been
pocket
a
it?
Like,
he probably just
doing?
Pocketed
yeah.
most of it.
You could, yeah. This is the type of movie that, like, there's a lot of movies.
It's like
now
Clerks. Like, you could film this on a camcorder.
Yeah,
it's weird. Yeah,
yeah. There's a lot of movies now that you could. Clerks is another really good example of someone who had never made a movie before,
but
understood
did well
how to make an interesting movie.
Yeah.
Also made it about their own life, literally
yes.
about their
yeah.
own life. Yeah.
And at the end, the shitty people aren't necessarily the heroes. We're supposed to like them because we spent time with them,
right.
but they show us why they're bad.
Exactly.
Right.
There's a balance. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that movie probably was made on like him maxing out 6 or 7 credit cards.
It was made
far
for
more visually interesting than this movie.
I know for a fact that movie was made for $32,000. Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could make that movie.
Yeah,
I could make that
yeah.
movie.
Oh,
yeah.
we today
that,
could make this movie. The,
we could
Buffalo
spend 66. That amount of money on a movie.
I couldn't, but...
I mean, we wouldn't
well,
want
I mean,
to.
Well, I mean, Seth, I'm assuming
could.
I could get enough loans
oh.
or at least lie about what I need the
oh,
loans for.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
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 Anyway, there like nowadays they talk about movies. This is a big thing with horror movies, especially being made on micro budgets and then going streaming.
Yeah.
It's the, is that
this
Bloom,
movie?
Bloomfield is the, no, what's the, What's the company? The guy that made all the Insidious movies did he's like, we can make these on shoestring budgets and make like $100 million.
Yeah.
Right, right. Yeah. It's all about the profit margin. Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyway. Yeah.
So whatever that one guy from the Phantom of the Opera.
I don't even.
Can you explain that one real quick?
Isn't that one actor from the Phantom of the Opera and all those Insidious movies?
Oh, Patrick Wilson. Yeah, that's the one. Okay, I didn't know what you meant. All right.
Hey, you're the one that watched that trailer, like, religiously.
The trailer of the Phantom of the Opera is probably my, like, 13th favorite movie.
Exactly. Sorry, go ahead.
But Zach, like, this actual movie is just despicable. Like, I can't think of a better word, and I throw this word around a lot on this show, I feel like, but it is despicable, and I honestly feel bad for everyone that was involved in it. Other than, I'm sure they made some money, and at least a lot of them probably got some at least auditions out of it, so good for them.
I think Kevin Corrigan's probably the only one that wasn't famous enough to be famous enough to get roles at that point.
Yeah, but I guess that's true.
If anything, I think the one
but he has so much charisma that it
oh
is
my god
just,
he's great, and he's been in wonderful
if he had
since,
been the star of this movie.
Oh,
I might have been able to the reading that I assume most people give it of, like, oh, it's the character that's tortured, not the person who made it. If Kevin Corrigan was playing that character, I might have made that reading.
For sure.
Yeah.
No, I think the one redeeming thing about this movie is that everyone came out against it rather than just swallowing it and being like, eh. Like, they came out against it, and then also Vincent Gallo's career past that was a fucking train wreck, and that is sort of karma in the end, right?
Yeah.
Also, like, it helps that all these incredibly talented people were in it as well.
Yeah,
like,
which I also don't know how he pulled that off. Like, how do you cast Angelica Houston in an indie movie in 1998? That's insane.
She's bored, I guess.
What's the Wes Anderson fucking...
Royal Tenenbaums?
Yeah.
Tenenbaums. Wasn't that like around here?
2000, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. What the fuck? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. But anyway. And she famously has a terrific relationship with him. Like.
Yes. Yeah.
There's just.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she's a very reasonable human. Yeah.
Well, and what I mean by that is he is also a very famous, like,
eccentric
auteur who has control over the entire product.
Right. But he's also good, so that helps, I think.
Yeah.
And apparently not a piece of trash, although I saw the trailer for Island of Dogs and I couldn't help but feel like, boy, there's a lot of white people voicing Japanese people in this movie. But anyway,
we're doing Fantastic Mr. Fox but with Japanese dogs. Okay, fine.
Yep. Cool.
Anyway, this is a huge diversion.
Before you rate mine, pretend like my British guy, Vincent Gallo, is actually played by Kevin Corrigan.
Yeah. Oh. Well, I mean, Seth. Yeah.
Well, wait. Also pretend that there's way more turquoise in it than we had initially written into it.
Yeah.
The Buffalo 66 is written in turquoise
you
on the poster.
You fucking did it again. You did it again.
Yeah. Yeah. So just to be clear, Buffalo 66 is a zero, and Vincent Gallo is a nightmare person.
Also a zero. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Also a zero. Yeah. Buffalo 66, which I think is probably the most collaborative episode we've had.
Yeah, that's fun. That's very fun.
Yeah.
Certainly since the first episode, even when we actually were trying to do a show that was collaborative and they just came up on it.
Yeah, I mean.
No, I think I'm with you. I love Taika Waititi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's really fun.
I really enjoy a movie where, like, the whole point is for the characters to not necessarily reach their goal, but find a thing that makes them happy, no matter what it is.
Right.
And Kevin Corrigan, you throw that combo in there, and you know I'm loving it.
Yep.
I'm loving it.
Well, now we gotta pay that fucking company.
Oh, God, shit. Damn. Or do they have to pay us?
No, we probably have to pay them.
Ah, shit.
Yeah, I know. I mean, well, we'll be in Shamrock Shakes for the rest of our life if they hear this. So.
Oh, oh, it's a crazy yeah. St. Patty's Day podcast.
I'll bring it back to the start. I mean, anyway.
Jesus. Okay.
Let me give it a 9.2.
Wow. Okay.
Wowie.
Yeah, because okay. I think a lot of that is like my heart swelling with the message.
Yeah.
And really loving the new cast. Yeah. sure, you know, it's sure. like this would be the kind of movie that I would go to if we still had an art house theater in the town that I live
yeah.
in. I would make it a point to go to the art house theater specifically to see.
Yeah.
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 Cool. Awesome. That's like one of my highest rated movies.
Yeah, it ain't bad.
This is also, that was the longest rating I've ever given.
Yeah.
That was about so. That was about 17, 18 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
We didn't make it easy on you for sure. But
Zach, what do you think?
All right, so I came into this. I came into watching this movie
mm-hmm.
prepared to defend it because I remember watching it as a teenager and being sort of kind of moved in like a didn't know enough about life
sure.
kind of way.
Sure.
I can remember you being not necessarily a Vincent Gallo fan, but someone who watched Vincent Gallo movies.
Yeah, it's kind of... Yeah, I enjoy Vincent Gallo in a like watch a train wreck happen kind of way. Like,
sure,
it's interesting to me how his life has played out. And so yeah, I remembered it being very good, or at least good. And then watching it, I'm gonna give it a 3, mm-hmm. because yeah, it's terrible in hindsight. But again, we talked a lot about like if you don't know who Vincent Gallo is as a person. It's a semi-compelling, like, piece of cinema, I would
right.
say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, Seth's, yeah, fully agreed. It's like a rat race kind of fucking really good romp.
Mm-hmm.
I love this thing.
Rat Race does have a very similar
yeah.
message.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very different way of getting there, mm-hmm. I think. But
and
yeah.
and again, to bring it back to Magic Mike XXL,
uh-huh.
like, it's about the journey, not the fucking destination.
God,
like,
I loved that movie.
Such a good
oh, it's so good.
Everybody should go out and watch Magic Mike XXL.
Yeah.
Hit up your local theaters and ask for Magic Mike XXL.
Several years ago.
Watch that, then a bunch of Taika Waititi movies, and
yeah,
then
yeah.
Black Panther.
Pay for those, for sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Taika needs more comeuppance in the Hollywood. Like, I think Thor did very well for him.
Thor did very well, yeah.
Yeah, but like,
and
what's
it was
the,
also quite good.
What was the fucking vampire one with?
Oh,
the,
What We Do in Shadows.
Oh, What We Do in the Shadows.
God damn it, that movie was
so
very good.
Good.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
good.
So much fun.
Everything he touches is perfect.
He also
shout out to friend of the show Sarah for recommending that to me.
Oh.
By the way, because
oh, okay,
yeah,
current most abused guest Sarah. Yeah,
we need to get her back on so we can behave ourselves.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
if tonight's any indication, maybe not yet, but. We gotta behave
yeah.
ourselves first. yeah, no, this movie was wonderful. I'm gonna give it a solid, let's say 9.6.
Ooh.
Reverse nice?
Oh, I see what you did there. So you even rated it higher than I did,
yeah.
and I almost cried.
No, I'm super into it. Yeah. No, yeah, it feels like it's a good, like, feel-good time.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm into it.
Cool.
Super into it. Yeah.
Hey, it's all about, like, collaborative stuff, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doing it together.
And maybe if we, as a society, collaborated a little more.
Well, that seems
like
wishful thinking, but...
That's a little
yeah.
far.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh. All right, so
guys, I don't know about you guys, but I have no idea how to end this one. Do you?
Well, like... for starters, next week, Lee, you're doing a movie.
Oh yeah, we should
yeah.
do that.
Yeah. You're doing a real buck wild movie called They Shoot Horses, comma Don't They?
Mm-hmm.
Which,
yeah,
man.
I don't know. All I know about this movie is that it has a title that doesn't quit.
Yeah, it doesn't quit for weeks.
Yep. Just like Magic Mike XXL.
Should. Oh. Yep. It's a real slide across a hardwood floor on your knees kind of movie, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Everybody cut loose then.
So that'll be good. Yeah, I don't know, Seth, you fucking killed it. But you were up against the, let's say, Buffalo Bills of the world, Vincent Gallo.